probably look at the hand.
Seems important.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday here from AwesomeMode.com. This is the PGA Strategy Show. I am Ben Raza. I am joined by Eric Lindquist today, usually my partner in crime for Live Before Lock, but our good friend Jason Roslin is out. Congratulations to him. Just added a little member to the family, so very good to hear all is well there. But you know what? The FedEx Cup rolls on. We have whittled the field from 125 to 70. That means, Eric, cuts are done for the year. How do you feel about that?
Not great. Unless, of course, I guess Tyrrell Hatton is a thing, and that didn't go very well. But I have a feeling that it's going to be very, very strange. Just to get different on, we have 69 golfers to work with this week. No Patrick Reed, because he has double pneumonia. That seems not ideal, whatever that would be. Hopefully he's all right. I guess Ryder Cup will probably need him to get going, but this is going to be a weird week. And, you know, with Caves Valley doing the research on this golf course going through. Yeah, exactly. The head shake is about perfect. I mean, we could just talk NFTs for 58 minutes. That would be all right too. I think the people would be all right with that.
Yeah, we should do that, but we are going to talk a little golf here and we're going to see what we can uncover. I do want to say before we dive into it, we're going to recap the Northern Trust a little because I got some questions. Our friends at Monkey Knife Fight still sponsoring the show. They've been with us the whole year. We certainly appreciate it. And if you haven't been over there, no better time because the NFL is about to unload on all of us. And they've got that. And of course, they've got UFC. They've got PGA, esports, soccer, pretty much anything that you want, they've got. So head over to monkeyknifefight.com. Choose which game you want to play, your contest type, your buy-in level. And when you sign up, use that promo code AWESOMO. Instant first match deposit bonus of up to $100. Sign up today. Looked like Rahm had it, kind of blew it. I'm not going to make a big deal of that, but obviously Tony Finau from the clouds finally does it. And the ironic thing is he really didn't do anything differently. He played great on Sunday, which he's done before. It just broke his way this time.
Yeah. He had the Riviera playoff with Max Homa. That did not go his way whatsoever. Homa got up and down from underneath a bush, underneath a tree on 10. That was an outrageous up and down. So there are things that happen in golf that you just can't control. All you can do is hit your own little golf ball and control that part of it. He did a very good job of it. Continued to just, I mean, Cameron Smith, I feel bad for him. He just basically gutted himself there in the playoff hole. That was brutal. What else do you want me to say?
Cam Smith's draw, you know, if for New Yorkers, that drive almost went in the Hudson River. That was quite offline in the playoff.
Four right.
Yeah, no, that was, I mean, what a break for Finau in the sense that,
yes,
of course, when you go to that playoffs, I don't care who you are, he's got to be feeling the heat. And that basically gave it to him, but well-deserved. You mentioned no Reed. Other than that, I mean, I don't really see a ton to talk about with the Northern Trust. Obviously, there were big names up there because all the best players are in the field. And I think we're going to see that once again here.
Yeah, it's, I will say there were some interesting things that happened in terms of the way that tournament played off. Obviously, we didn't get Sunday, so the Monday shift, that's one thing. But the leaderboard flipped hard on Saturday. I mean, I went from winning, I'm pretty sure, all of the things to winning none of the things in dramatic, unbelievable fashion. And that's kind of the way that it works in these playoffs. And you get some of these golf courses where you increase the variance, you get a calm day. Cameron Smith goes out and shoots 11 under, makes it look easy. There's just ways in these playoffs. And now that's going to be what we're looking at with this no cut event. Again, you're not going to feel comfortable with anything you've done until Sunday when it's all said and done. So get ready to embrace some variance. And I think that's also, like, for me, Showdown is going to be a big part of my process this week from a DFS perspective, because I think there's some large, large edges. I mean, I just stacked Saturday morning tee times, ended up having a better Saturday Showdown day than I did have for the main slate. And that's just kind of the way that it is. And looking forward to it this week, but definitely going to be some landmines to be looking through, because if you want to get different, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is, we just had a practice run with the Olympics and the WGCs. This is that kind of mentality where you're going to get four rounds. Certainly you can't be counting your winnings any day, even Sunday, don't be until the end, because it can swing wildly. It's just different. I think these are pretty interesting betting cards. We'll get to that a little bit as well, but let's move to the final 70. So there are 70 guys. Reed is not here, so we're already down one. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, we're going to be doing the show tomorrow night. I wouldn't be stunned tomorrow night if we mention a couple other names that drop out, to be honest, but we'll see what goes on here. It's really the same questions as last week. You know, I think I know the answer. Do you look at where guys are positioned? Obviously, if you're hovering around 70, you know you need a massive week to make the finals.
I won't ratio Jason Roslin this week just because he had a child. He had a new baby, and I'm very happy for him. So I will not go on the Twitter sphere and basically say, oh, golfers are trying to win golf tournaments. That's what they're going to try to do. I don't look at the positioning in this kind of way, shape, or form, because they're all going out there trying to play well. And, you know, I think come Sunday, maybe, you know, there's guys who are going to be aware of what they need to do. Maybe it's something to look at for like a round four showdown, but for the first three rounds, I don't know how you possibly say, oh, I want to look at, you know, if I'm 32nd or 26th or whatever the number is surrounding that magical 30 number. I don't really see any reason that I would want to get too focused on that whatsoever. How about you?
No, I don't care at all.
Oh, cool. Good talk.
It doesn't affect anything. In my opinion, you're going to see some guys make a massive move, and you're going to see other guys who don't play well. And I don't think it has anything to do with kind of where they're positioned. So if they're here, they're obviously pretty good. And, you know, there's some big names who didn't make it, but that's because they had a shitty year. Most of the good players, of course, are going to be ready to roll for this sprint run. So I really don't see anything. The one thing, and we've already talked about this, and we've got a lot of practice here in chat. You know, we got seasoned veterans in here. Everybody knows non-cuts are non-cuts. They're different mentality. You're structuring different. Normally, though, it lends itself to stars and scrubs. Here, we really don't have the quote-unquote scrubs because there's no randos in this field. It's just the top 70.
Oh, I'll put some Hudson Swafford and Streb and some of the guys on the bottom end, but they're not going to be popular already at 6K. I mean, talk about some structure. If you want to talk about some salary savings, your boy Schwartzel's 6,100, and that's going to be a fun talking point getting down to the bottom end of this. Yeah, but as you said, top 70 or 69 in this case, there's pretty much going to be some win equity across the board. I mean, you're going to be looking at Rahm and Xander, who are your top two guys right now. But from a DFS perspective, you know, at least Rahm has been put up to a place where it's going to be very, very uncomfortable to roster him with some cheapies. And I think they did a pretty good job of pricing here and looking forward to it from that angle for sure. But I don't even know what we were talking about. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
No, there's really, it's just getting into the mentality of these tournaments.
Yeah.
The FedEx Cup, I treat it like any other non-cut, a WGC. I don't think it matters that much that it's, you know, a FedEx Cup. I think it's just that it's that same concept, whether it's the Olympics or just a non-cut that we get throughout the year. But enough of that. Let's dive into it and appreciate that. Birthday wishes from chat. Much appreciated. Let's get into Caves Valley. It's a course that I've never heard of. They have never played here. It's a new course, obviously, and that makes it kind of interesting. We don't know exactly. It's in Baltimore, par 72, pretty standard length, I think 7,500-ish. What do you know about this course? What have you seen about this course? And how do we start kind of with a blank slate?
So Tom Fazio, designer, kind of went through a couple of his comps, and then Caves Valley. They've had some other noteworthy things. 1995 U.S. mid amateur. Your boy over here has played in a mid amateur. So I mean, obviously, it's not a terrible little track that you have to go get stuck on for sure. Definitely something that I think can get set up a little bit more difficult for some of those USGA events. I'm not sure that's really going to be kind of the question, is how difficult we think this is going to play. They've had NCAA tournaments there. They had a 2007 Palmer Cup there. A number of different things that have hosted there. They had a 2014 LPGA tournament there. Kind of going through a number of these venues. I just think that's, for me, going to be very interesting to know. A lot of people have comped it to Murfield Village right off the bat. That's the number, or that's the course that I see everybody kind of referring to. There's some undulation gaps. I can see from kind of the green complexes that's going to be something. I went on the old Google Earth this morning and tried to do that. So that's what I do to prep for golf tournaments, is I kind of go on Google Earth if I've never seen a golf course before and take a look at it. Kind of got to do the same thing here as if I were playing it. And obviously I'm not, that's a stupid thing to say, but it's going to be just figuring out how difficult you think it's going to play and building accordingly.
No doubt. Step one is always, not that you need to nail the winning score, but you need to know, is it going to be streaks, bonuses, 23 under? Is it going to be brutal where, you know, par saves and scrambling, or is it going to be somewhere in the middle, which this seems upper middle. I think it'll be fairly easy, definitely scoreable. Nothing ridiculous, though. It looks like, from what I've read, pretty generous landing areas off the tee. You can be aggressive. Variety of par fours, pretty standard stuff. I don't see any gimmicky things where there's like an abnormal amount of water or abnormal amount of rough, anything like that. You mentioned Muirfield Village. I think Augusta is a decent comp, to be honest, particularly if you want to talk about the greens. People talk about that all the time with the Masters. You got to be on the right quadrant. Obviously, they're not going to be as fast in terms of lightning speed, but I think you can take something from that. And we get to see all the best players in the world at those type of events, which makes it a little easier.
Yeah. Somebody just asked who the last person who won there was. Scott McCarron won a senior players there in 2017. It looks like that's the last big tournament that was hosted there. But yeah, just wanted to throw that out there. But yeah, the green complexes, yeah, I think they can make this place difficult. It's just a question, like, these are the best players in the world. You can go through the NCAAs, you can go through the mid-amateur, you can go through all of this stuff. I have no idea. They could, you just never know. And being able to embrace some of the variants for a new golf course, and if these greens are going to be slicked up, that's definitely going to be something you can sort. And there are a number of places where you can go and take a look on if the greens are going to be fast. Bent greens, you can kind of like sort it that way. Green firmness, number of different ways that we can try to find small edges here or there, just kind of by grouping it that direction. But for me, I'm going to just be grouping players the way that you have taught me here over the last couple of months, putting together similar skill sets and kind of going from there.
Yeah, I think that's even more important with a course we haven't seen, because I don't care what anyone says, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to truly hone in on the skill set. Like, maybe this is a putting competition. Maybe Bryson types are going to dismantle it off the tee. Maybe it's, you know, the Morikawas of the world just dominating with the approach. Probably some combination. I'm sure it's going to be a fair test, but I will lean towards certain skill sets in certain builds. The other tough thing, as we move to the top tier, you know, we get every option available, and that's kind of a major mentality. You've got Rahm leading us off at 11-7. Then you've got Xander, Spieth, JT, DJ, Brooks, Morikawa. It's rinse and repeat. It's the same thing as last week. What do you do? Do you try to look at it the same? Do you macro build? Like, it's the same players as last week up top.
It's so strange, because it feels like, if we just look at the DJ example, and again, these are all like 1 or 2 year sample size. We have the FedEx Cup that's been around for a little bit of time here now, 15, 20 years, is it? We've had a number of years to have playoffs and such, but it seems like there's always 1 or 2 players that get hot and they just kind of ride through the entire playoffs. It was DJ last year, Tiger pretty much every year forever. There's just a number of these guys that kind of get it going. And I don't know. I don't know how you fade Rahm. I don't know how you look at the board and say, you know what? I don't want to play Rahm, who goes first, seventh, third, third, his last four, just kind of playing fantastic golf, consistent golf. I'm not saying you even have to have him win. You didn't need to have him win to be optimal last week, for sure. And I think it's the same kind of situation with him again. Xander, 62 on Tuesday, but then the 70 in round three. I mean, everybody was going scuba diving on Saturday. And if you didn't go crazy on Saturday, you probably weren't playing well for this golf tournament last week. Xander, probably fine. I'm not nearly prioritizing him the same way I am with Rahm. We have 24 hours to kind of be looking, well, 48 hours, I suppose, up until this golf tournament. We're going to be doing another show tomorrow. I'll have a clearer idea of what I want to do with them, but I know for a fact I'm going to have more Rahm than Schauffele without even looking at it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Rahm was just surgical. He gained 12 strokes tee to green, 0.8 with the putter. That's why he lost. He needed to roll a couple more in. He was just fantastic all week. He's clearly the favorite in any tournament that he goes in at this point. I will say it's very early, but our premium ownership projections have just been run by Alex Baker himself. Rahm's the highest owned guy right now, and that's not that surprising to me, because I think with a no-cut mentality, a lot of people are going to say, let me get Rahm and I'll worry about the rest later. And you can easily do that this week. If I didn't go to Rahm, Justin Thomas was scoring.
Oh, like, my God. I just want to punch him in the face.
25 birdies and an eagle, but he made 8 bogeys and 2 doubles. That's not going to get it done. I mean, I love the scoring. That's ridiculous in a non-cut. Fantastic. More importantly, he gained, and we knew this was going to happen. He flipped the putter. After losing 5 strokes putting at the non-cut in Tennessee, he gained 4.5 at the Northern Trust putting. You got to like where he is coming into this event now.
Yeah, so I ended up betting him out. So I kind of scattershot. The live betting for this was fantastic, by the way. I was in Colorado and was able to do a lot of that as it was going along. It got on a little bit of Finau, not enough Finau, but John Rahm was basically like plus 150 or better the entire golf tournament up until the back nine. And there was so much value around the board and Justin Thomas. I ended up firing probably the hardest there. And it just, at the beginning of that round, you just knew it was going south very, very quickly for him. Still ended up getting a better finish than what, you know, I ended up shooting 70, kind of hid that entire front nine, but God, 10-6 now. And I love playing this dude. It was nice to finally get something out of him there, but now with the price increase, the putter, as you said, he got it flipped. I just want to keep seeing it here. I might be going to more Rahm this week. I think just as a result, I think it's going to be harder and people might be more uncomfortable. We'll see what it ends up at. I mean, Rahm ended up being like one of the highest owned dudes anyway, last time out. JT, now that he's flipped it for people, maybe I'll let them have the excursion that is the Justin Thomas experience and maybe be a little lighter than I've been pretty much in the entire year. Cause there's no way I can get back to even on this dude already.
No, I mean, I've been betting him without success. He's certainly, you know, I was never as worried as others, and he's showing it's right there. I have no problem with him. Rahm, I'm going to try to get healthy exposure to. Indifferent on Xander. I will say, and you could take this for what it's worth, I have no idea how to quantify this. Spieth has mentioned that he's played this course a bunch because of his Under Armour ties when he goes mm-hmm. there. I don't know what that means. I guess it can't hurt, but I hope people, or I don't want to say hope people, I have a feeling some people may run with that more than it probably should be if that narrative is out there in the general public. The guy I want to ask you about is Morikawa, mm-hmm. who he was awful last week. He lost strokes across the board. He had never done that in his PGA Tour career. He had kind of alluded / mentioned maybe he's not 100% here at the Olympics, kind of a back issue. What do you do with him? Not going to be popular relative to the top, but it's a lot of risk right now.
I mean, people are still going to click on his name and we'll see kind of where that ends up landing as we go into tomorrow. I usually in my process never look at ownership. I kind of have just a feel and a gauge because we're playing every single week. We're talking this every single week. You kind of know what people are going to do. And I find it hard to believe people aren't going to click on Morikawa. If you were like 5%, I find it impossible that I wouldn't get over the field on something like that because we know the kind of pedigree there. Number one, I believe, or number two in strokes gained tee to green in this field. That's going to be number one, actually. There you go. Lovely to see that. It's hard not to think that the long-term form doesn't count for something, but if he's not right, if he's not feeling all right, we'll kind of see what he talks about here. It is going to be a short travel week here. He at least had the whole weekend off. So can I say that maybe that's a plus? He didn't have to deal with the Monday finish. He was able to just kind of rein it in, and maybe there's something to be said about that. You get some treatment. You don't have to keep going for, you know, 3 days and stick around there in New York. He was able to kind of move on quickly. Maybe that's a plus for him and a narrative I can maybe draw to try to get to a little bit more of him, but I still think he's going to be around 10-12%. And I'm not going to go crazy and be right around that.
Yeah. I doubt I got to him, to be honest. It's just, I will say if he was really hurt, probably wouldn't play. So he must be good to go. I am a little concerned, and I just certainly prefer going to get someone above him or a bunch of guys below him that we'll get to. But the last guy I want to ask before we move to the mid range and the nines and the eights, Dustin Johnson continues his pretty just subpar play here. Again, I don't think he's going to be a name. Of course, it's not going to be unowned, but I don't think people are going to gravitate towards him because of the recent form. He could be one of the lowest north of 10K. Are you willing to blindly back him? Or are you going to say, you know what, maybe he's just not having it at the tail end of his season?
Yeah. So looking at this golf course in a vacuum, 75, 42 yardage, it's longer. It looks like it's going to be a little bit tougher. I think I do like DJ this weekend. Ooh, this is okay. Just right off the bat. Yeah, no, so how are we going to get different? We have 69 players in this field and you're looking at this top end. Everybody wants to play Rahm. Everybody's going to want to play JT now that he's finally shown something there. I think that those two are going to corner a bunch of the ownership, and I'm not going to be fading Rahm whatsoever, but I got to find somebody to draw something from. And I just think this golf course being longer, being bent greens, he's a great putter on these faster surfaces. We saw it in Chicago last season. We've seen it in a couple of these spots where I just kind of like him, where he's dying the ball in the hole with the putter. Just, you know, a little bit more of a feel centric guy, obviously Augusta in November last year. I think I'm going to be there on DJ, and he might end up being from a DFS angle. Just as I was going through my process this morning, just kind of looking at types to kind of fit this golf course. He's somebody who can go low and can also play well on beastly tracks. I think if it's going to play longer and tougher, that might be a positive for him. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's more for me with him. I just don't know where he's honestly at with his game. It just hasn't been clicking. I do think those are probably the best conditions. You're getting, I see some 22s out there in the market. Wouldn't be opposed to maybe offloading some risk. Non-cut, I think, helps him because he can go crazy low, and that could come on Saturday where he would never even get there in some of these other formats. Not my favorite play, but if I had to choose an under-the-radar leverage play north of 10, it would be DJ, certainly over Morikawa.
And that's what I'm getting at, is that I don't think it's, if you're playing cash, I'm not going to
definitely cash not. This week.
Do not do such a thing, but you wouldn't be clicking on this is no. Tournaments. We're looking for leverage. And I just think his potential of being under the radar and his upside that he presents is just much higher than a lot of the other guys in the range. If he captures it, I mean, it's not a health thing. It's just been off here for a while. And I think if you can just get the ball in play, this is going to be the kind of golf course where I want to be invested.
Fair enough. I think that's spot on. If DJ turns it up, DJ, I mean, it's over, just like most of these guys. So we'll see. Tomorrow, that's one of the many names we're going to revisit on Live Before Lock. But let's move to the, I guess I'm calling it the mid-range. Why not? It's the nines, it's the eights, it's the sevens. But before I do, I mentioned this the other day, and I want to repeat it because it's worth repeating. If you are going to stick around for NFL all season, for DFS, grab the Awesomo Plus NFL Annual Pass right now for 15% off. 15% off with the promo code BLITZ. It's a full season worth of Awesomo Plus player projections, ownership projections, the stacks, premium Slack, and a ton of new tools. As an added bonus, it also includes projections and updated depth charts for the preseason, which Matt and the whole team have been killing. Alex, everyone's doing a great job there. So promo code BLITZ for 15% off the Awesomo Plus NFL Annual. If you want the information, you want to activate it in the description of this video, it's right there. You should click it. If you're going to do it, why wouldn't you at this point? It's a great, great deal. And our NFL is just going to be dangerously insane, as is our college football package, which I will get to later in the show. But here we go. Obviously, we've mentioned the big names. But man, we've still got a ton. We've got Finau kicking off the nines. He, of course, won last week. Usti is back. Cam Smith, yes. Rory sub 95 at 9,400. Bryson, Cantlay, Hovland, Berger. I mean, you can easily love the balance build this week, can you not?
Oh, yeah. And that's what we're going to be doing, is we're going to be balance building like crazy. And that's what I was alluding to. If you want to get different, if you want to be playing Rahm plus other 10K guy, plus you're going to have some garbage compared to what you're able to do if you're starting in the 9K range. I mean, Usti 9,600, Cam Smith 9,500, Bryson DeChambeau, the upside, the high variance there, Victor Hovland in the low nines. I mean, this upper 9K range, Finau is really going to be an interesting guy, because right now it's an early, early run of ownership. And I try to never look at any of these things. I just pulled it up and I'm looking at it because I have to at this point. I'm just too curious. Finau being under 15%. I mean, this is the kind of guy too. You want to talk about a DJ, guys who kind of get hot come playoff time and can kind of ride the momentum. He is, I mean, that maybe the floodgates just open here for him and it becomes much easier, because the talent is crazy there in just a ridiculous way. Under 10K for him as well. It's just feels like a fun range. But of course, Rory 9,400, that's the dude. I mean, 9,400 for a Rory McIlroy come playoff time leading into East Lake here. I just want to be invested there in a ridiculous way. How about you?
I mean, I definitely do. I'm definitely going to be there. I don't know. You know, I liked Rory last week. He did his typical just floundering around. The thing that I really didn't get, though, since his win at Wells Fargo in May, he had gained 4 or more strokes on the approach in every single event that he played on the PGA Tour, which is just ridiculous. That's 5 events. He lost 4 strokes on the approach to Northern Trust. His putting was great. His off the tee game was not immaculate, but it was still very solid. I just don't know what was wrong with those irons. They were really off. I'm going to chalk that up to just being off. I think he can flip right back. The price is right. There's no doubt about that. And this is a good course for Rory. He should be just be able to dismantle these short par fours. Everything fits from what I've seen. I see a little Quail Hollow in this. Obviously, he's destroyed that time and time again with his ability to drive the ball. He's also on the betting card. 28-1 for Rory is just a bet, no doubt in my mind.
And 28-1 was 69 players in the field. Not that, you know, I'm saying that the other 50 would be contenders to be able to be guys to close it out or whatever the number would be. But I think Rory for sure at that number in this field on this golf course, there's no way I won't be betting that too.
What do you make of Hovland? Because, you know, when I was thinking of Rory, Hovland, he broke his putter. I don't know if you saw that.
It was fantastic. Yeah, no, the putting with the wedge that went better. He found something with the wedge. He found something.
Wow, Travis Etienne, possibly out for the year, according to chat.
Stop it. Oh, hold up.
That's neither here nor there.
It is here nor there. It is all the way here because we are an all-encompassing. I do NFL. We've got the NFL content. You have the college football. This is big news, and I'm just going to jump in and see what the divisional odds are.
I'm just passing along chat. We'll figure that out. I know he's hurt. We'll see how long. I want to talk about Patrick Cantlay, though, because he quietly was lurking. He was never a serious threat, but he played pretty well last week. Gained a couple strokes off the tee. Matched that with really good short game stats, 3.4 around the green, 2.2 with the putter, finished 11th. I think this is a pretty good fit for him. And how could you not? I mean, who would you rather? Mirfield Village. Patrick Cantlay's playground. He absolutely torches that place.
That is his golf course. I mean, obviously he got the gift of the John Rahm withdrawal, but it doesn't matter. He was still the best player in the field other than John Rahm. I got to think that this is going to be another spot to be invested in him as well. 6.7 strokes gained total there at the Northern Trust, 2.2 with the putter. I mean, for him getting that putter right after that horrible stretch that he had in April and May, it's kind of been it. And if he gets it going here again, one of the best pure putters. I mean, his stroke is just ridiculous, and it can get really crazy fast. Plays both types of golf courses as well. He played well at Mirfield Village when it was easy, when it was hard. He's capable of doing the things that you want on that type of a golf course. And if you're going to put that as a comp, Quail Hollow, I like that comp too. I didn't even necessarily plug that in any of my data points, but I'm going to. I think that this is definitely a spot to be in on him too.
Yeah, he's another one. You know, I think it's probably a little thin from a roster construction standpoint to start with him. You could do it, no doubt. I just think that's a little much. That's a lot of win equity you're giving up. It's about 15 names north of him. Great second man in. I think he's cash viable. Betting markets, I like the spot because I certainly think he's going to play well. Rory's a better price than him. And to me, I just like, you know, 25-1 for Cantlay is fine. 28-1 for Rory is a better number in my opinion. And yeah, shout out to Miami Mike for breaking that news. Wow, I did not see that coming on the football front. Wow. For ETN, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so right now, just go over to the divisional odds and take a look at that, because that's probably the best way to get invested, because it's not, I mean, not that Jacksonville, that was not a team that was going to be super scary to me whatsoever. But I mean, what is that division? I mean, that division is just such garbage this season.
Yeah, it's bad. What do you make of Oost coming back? Because he's the one guy, obviously, he's been ridiculously consistent. Then he's taken a string of, I don't want, you know, my neck, I'm not playing, took a week off, took another week off. I don't know. Do you make of him? Because he's been putting literally lights out all season, but he's the one guy we don't really have reps recently.
I don't care. I'm playing him. Is that going to be something that other people factor in heavily? I see 13% here is the early number for that. If it stays south of 15%, I'm going to have more than 25%. There's just no way around it. This guy is the best putter on planet Earth. If you want to get in any kind of a, he's good everywhere. He's good absolutely everywhere. He played well at the 3M, which, you know, is a nothing golf tournament. Plays well at majors, third and second his last two. The Memorial top 20, PGA second, Valspar eighth. I mean, how do we not just click his name? If he's right, that's probably better than him showing up playing last week, playing awful, and then being hurt. Like, cool, take your week off. You've earned it. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be in the top 30. why not just chill and give yourself an opportunity to actually compete on the 2 weeks that it really matters? I'm pretty excited about clicking his name this week.
I'm basically in line with you. I have no problem with it. And really, when you look, and we'll see what changes right now from Finau to Berger, you're literally choosing best available because our ownership projections have everyone negligible, north of 10%, sub 20%, basically all hovering around 15%, give or take. And in that situation, those are margins that don't matter. You're choosing best available. You're not going to factor in ownership there. To me, best available would be Rory and Cantlay, probably Usti third. What about you? Or is there anyone else?
Usti third?
Yeah. Yeah. I like them. I just really like the other two more.
I mean, I like all three.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the right answer, isn't it?
I mean, you're certainly going to be able to pair two of three comfortable. You can use three of three. It's not like you can't. It's just then you're going to bump. You're going to flat at sevens probably.
I mean, this is really kind of the curious part about this entire golf tournament and this entire week is how comfortable you are playing guys north of 10K when you're giving up, being able to play two, maybe three. I mean, I was building a little bit before the show here. It is not too hard to go Rory, Cantlay, Hovland, Rory, Cantlay, Berger, Rory, Cantlay, Scheffler. I mean, there's just a number of ways that you can get that done. And then Louis 9600, even a little bit more expensive. It's super easy to play two of them. Get, you know, the Paul Casey's, the Sam Burns. My God, Sam Burns, this guy. Just, you know, turned it up here again. Thought he was going to go nuts there. Didn't finish it out very well. But I'm just going to be playing him going forward here too. But basically these 10K guys are going to be victims of how good the 9K range is.
That's the thing. Ownership. These guys are going to garner ownership, but not everybody can be popular. That's just not possible. So we'll see who gets squeezed. Maybe it's Finau. Maybe it's Bryson. I don't really know. And I think that this is where narratives come in. Even chat's talking about this, that the bomber thing's getting a little over bit blown. I don't even disagree with that. I think if you're going to do it, you might as well do it pretty aggressively though, and look to Bryson and Rory and Hovland and Finau types, not all together, but maybe trending that direction. And like guys like Champ would fit in nicely with them over guys who really don't hit it too far. So we'll see. And we'll keep note of that as we work down. It's amazing though. We're into the eights. We still have Scottie Scheffler, Hideki, Webb is in here, Paul Casey, who's been mega consistent, Neiman, Harris English. A lot to like here. They're not going to be your first man in, but you got to like this range as well. Just shows the strength of the field.
It's absurd. I mean, this really is. And it's correctly priced. That's the thing that's really crazy too, is that like it's a tiered pricing just based. I mean, this is major pricing. And then maybe even a little bit softer because you don't have those, like the 6K guys aren't club professionals in the PGA Championship or whatever. You're getting, you know, 6K guys that are actually top 70 players. And so it's tiered in a way where you're going to gravitate to a lot of these places in the upper eights. I mean, Answer, who, you know, is always an iron week away from being in contention. I mean, one of the best iron players, period. Corey Connors, ball striker. If you think that putting is going to be neutralized, I don't really know. Like he's as good of a ball striker as you're going to find. Webb Simpson any week, 8,500. In this whole upper 8K range is ridiculous. Again, Scottie Scheffler, that was the disappointment of my last week. I thought I took a big stand on Scottie Scheffler. 8,900, it's hard not to be interested in going right back to it again. It's not like he played bad. I mean, 70, 68, 69, 70, just played bad compared to everybody else who played really well and was actually scoring, but completely different type of golf course, a little bit more bomber-esque, a little bit, and just predicting it, I think it's going to play harder. I mean, last week we knew, you and I basically just said it's going to be a birdie fest, and that came to fruition at least one of the days, so that was nifty. Going forward here, hard not to really just love this upper eights.
He lost three strokes putting. He did nothing with his irons. He was just pretty indifferent, but that's why we have a sharp chat. Chris Henry, this is what I'm talking about. Sandwich pricing. It's one of my favorite things to target, and it's true. Hideki is stuck between Scheffler and Answer. Both of them make a lot of sense, particularly Scheffler. Hideki's putter is a little ice cold right now, and his irons were uncharacteristically bad. I throw that out. I like him. I think he could be one of the lowest owns in the eights. Probably not going to fit with some of my themes, but if I go very like, you know, long irons, surgical, putting's not as important, good scrambling or around the green, I should say, Hideki makes a lot of sense to me. I like that call. What do you do with like web and English though? Because they do it differently, but man, have they been effective, particularly English.
English, I said last week was the first week that I was really kind of invested there. I feel like I've just kind of been off of him all year, just thinking that he would regress. He was up, you know, a little bit more expensive in some of these spots, and I just didn't really feel like going there. And then the St. Jude's optimal, Travelers he's optimal, U.S. Open he's optimal. I mean, three of the last four going into the Northern Trust didn't really turn it on that Saturday when you needed to go low, and that was kind of a bummer that would be his highest round of the three rounds would be that Saturday event where everybody was shooting 64, it seemed like, or better. So Harris English, I'm happy to go back there again here. I'm hoping the ownership kind of sticks in some kind of a doable place, sub 15%, I feel like, for him. Yeah, he does it differently. Webb Simpson, God, he always projects so well here at Osmo, and I get it, like the Wyndham, and maybe I just don't want to click his name. I feel like, what are you going to do with Webb? Because like for me, yeah, you talk about him doing it differently, but is his off the tee game going to be capable of contending on this golf course? And I'm just going to say no.
Yeah, I mean, it's a product of Webb is a really good player, so he can do it, but I don't think this is a good course for him, to be honest. Yeah. If you want to take Muirfield, that he's never been good there for the most part. He's also lost strokes putting in two straight. That's not a huge deal, but when you're Webb, you can't be messing around with your putter because you're just not good enough off the tee to mitigate that. Harris English is the other guy. He's been gaining like a banshee. He gained another 4.5 with the putter just to get to 31st. This is why this guy tilts me, because it's just very, very confusing to deal with that. But I'm more apt to say, you know what? I'm going to go to guys right below them. Paul Casey's been great all year. I'm going to stick with Neiman. This is just a guy, he wasn't good last week, but he was fine. He made the cut, gained three strokes tee to green, did nothing with the putter, just a throwaway week. He needs to be better. Non-cut environment. I think if this plays slightly easier than people expect, he could be a good fit here. Aggressive, can score. I worry if it's tough, but if it's easy, I think this ultimately would be a pretty good track for him.
I agree with you. I'm going through some Harris English, trying to back up a little bit of I can't do it. 62nd at Memorial and then missed cut in 2020. Maybe I'll be lighter on him than what I was anticipating for sure. But yeah, this lower eights, let's party down here. Sam Burns, Casey, Neiman, those three, I think it's going to be more difficult for me to parse through them than it is for that 9K range, I think, because I'm going to want to play all the guys in the 9K range. I'm not going to want to play everybody here on the bottom end. I mean, are you all in on Paul Casey again? That's your boy.
He is my boy. I think, you know, for cash, stability, all that seems fine. You look at, he's had such a good year, so stable, cash in top 20 tickets, comes in 64th last week. He played exactly the same as he's been playing. He lost 6.5 strokes putting. I mean, that's just not going to work. So that's a throwaway. It's not like he can't do that again, but that's such an outlier in general. I don't worry about that. The last guy before we move to the sevens, and I'll be honest, I don't have a strong take on him, is Sungjae.
I have a strong take. Don't play him.
He was good tee to green last week.
He was really good tee to green. And then around the green putting. And we've seen that a number of times. I mean, it was the same thing at the St. Jude. He should have played a lot better than he did there. He was positive off the tee and approach. And again, I don't know what's going on with him. He's such a hard guy to get a gauge on. I mean, he played well at the Rocket Mortgage. That's literally his only top 20, or excuse me, but yeah, his only top 20 that he's had all summer long. So, I mean, are we giving up that much at the lower eights? The form of just about everybody else is substantially better, it looks like. I mean, between Neiman, Casey, Burns, I would rather go pretty much to anybody except for him. That's probably why he's going to be the lowest owned of the group, but even 10%, I feel like that's just too high for a guy that his top 10 equity right now is just not there.
Ownership to me is going to have to drastically change if someone like him, like if you're going to tell me I'm getting 1/4 the ownership on Sungjae versus Casey, there's a discussion. If it's I'm saving for, you know, oh, Casey's going to be 18 and him's going to be 13, that is meaningless. Stupid. To me.
Yes.
So unless he drastically torpedoes and really goes sub, you know, hovering 5%, okay, maybe there's conversation. I don't think we're going to get there. And that's kind of where I'm at right now with that. 7K range, it starts to thin out, but still some players. Shane Lowry, who's been good all year, Henley, Kokrak, Keegan, Norin with the massive price hike. Most the comment I resonate most with in chat all day, someone said, how the hell is Sergio still in the FedEx Cup? I don't even know how he has any points, but he is here. Kevin Na, EVR, Tringale, HV3, Billy Ho. So many names. Floor is yours. Where do you see yourself looking in this direct mid-range?
I mean, is this going to be the make-or-break range of the entire slate?
Somebody from this range, I mean, this isn't a hot take. This is just a product of averages in some ways. Someone is going to get into contention from this little range here. And if you can nail that, it would go a long way.
I mean, we got to talk a little bit about Kevin Na, don't we? Just how unbelievable he is at doing things that nobody else is capable. 8.3 strokes gained around the green at the Northern Trust. What is that? I mean, that is like the dude, we have videos of him making, you know, chip-ins at the John Deere with the edge of his putter. We have him getting up and down out of garbage cans like Jordan Spieth. I mean, he just does it. You want to talk about doing it differently. He does it so differently. And the putter hasn't even been nuts here. I mean, a 23rd and a second at the Wyndham here, flat putting in those. His strokes gained approach, 7.1. He lost strokes gained off the tee and approach, and he still finished top 10. If he gets anywhere even like neutral with that right now, the guy is one of the best players around the green. And if I'm going to be in on Louis, I feel like Kevin Na is a nice piece to pair with a lot of Louis teams.
Definitely fits certain builds, not my preferred build, I'll be honest. Okay. I definitely want guys stronger off the tee this week.
It's probably true.
But maybe we're wrong. I mean, some of the best edges you can have is when there's a narrative on a new course. Because what if everybody's wrong? That can happen, obviously. And then
groupthink is a dangerous, dangerous thing. But 7,500 plus, I definitely am with you. Where I think maybe focusing a little bit more on Bomber and hoping that Kevin Na doesn't chip in 48 times is probably a good way to do it.
I will say, even though it pains me, the guy in theory that should fit what I want to do is Sergio.
No. I knew you were going to say his name. No,
you probably not. I will say 110-1. That's a good number. I see 80s across the board and one sports book has 110.
No.
Fine. Well, I'll cash that ticket by myself then.
He gained strokes putting in his two rounds at the Northern Trust,
which is like a miracle in itself. But
a miracle. But part of that is that every one of his putts didn't matter because they were for bogey.
If we were, that was on the good holes. Some of them were for others, as they call it in the golf world. What do you make of, this is a guy I kind of liked a little last week. He was in contention without being in contention. HV3 finished 11th. He was weak off the tee, but everything else looked really, really solid.
Yeah, he was a big part. You pointed him out and I started looking at it. He was a big part of my portfolio. My best teams all had him going into Saturday. That wasn't unfun. I will say that was not my favorite experience that I've had there. How about EVR though? So this cat, I mean, Northern Trust HV3 still finished pretty decently there, but again, 68 on Saturday. I keep pointing to that, but 68 on Saturday was not even that good. 71 in the Monday finish, also not ideal. Needed him to go a little bit lower for me, but EVR, man, gets the W, playing on house money here. Seventh at the Northern Trust. Nice little 62 on Saturday. Maybe that inflates his ownership here coming into it. Maybe people feel a little bit more comfortable. He's really somebody that is going to be very, very ownership dependent because I want to play him. If he's going to be at 7%, which is what we've got him right now, I want to play him at 7,500. Are you in on him? And like, I would rather click his name than HV3, I think.
He's a tricky one because he gained 7 strokes putting. That's ridiculous. But he also, he was in the tournament and then he made a triple or a quad late on Monday. Mm-hmm. And that masks a lot of really good work. He still finished with a very quality result, but he was really up there for a second. I don't know what to do with him. My gut says I lean HV3. But I think the interesting thing, I think a lot of people would say that they lean Cameron Champ over both of them.
I'm seeing his name a lot. He was kind of popping up on Twitter. I guess he's in the chat here now too. It makes sense. It's a Bomber golf course, but the main thing that we got to talk about with him is, do we think the putter can be flipped long-term? And I'm still saying no. I think you saw it at the 3M here. Are you thinking Cam Champ is automatically now just a good putter and we should be invested in him on some of these tracks? Cause it feels like he's a guy that if you're wrong on him and he's popular, you're dead because he will just sink you.
No doubt about that. His game is not well-rounded at all. He's electric. This is why he pops randomly and wins. I'm not really there though. I and listen, there's definitely some guys, Neiman in particular, where I'm going to say this and speak to the other side of it. Cameron Champs around the green game is so terrible. I think he could have some serious problems here. This is not just a bomb and gouge birdie fest. Like, I think you're going to have to navigate a little around some murky lies and some, as you mentioned, some slopes and whatnot. That doesn't suit his game at all. So if other people are there, I'm not going to be. If he's low owned, of course, I can make a case for it. But honestly, Johnny Vegas at 71, you've got Maverick down there, Charlie Hoffman. There are some guys hovering around flat seven that I have more interest in.
Oh yeah. Maverick. We're going back to the well on Maverick. Seeing him lose strokes on the approach, minus 2.4 strokes on the approach, was just brutal. It was just brutal because I felt like he was going to put himself there, had a nice Saturday, and then, I think he was pretty hot there for a second on Monday, if I was looking at that correctly, and didn't necessarily put it all together here. But you got to find some of these guys to kind of sprinkle in, and I felt really good about him last week. He didn't kill me by any means. 27th no. made cut there. 67 there on Monday. Didn't go crazy low on Saturday. Again, that was kind of what you needed from everybody that was in contention or that really finished up the board from the value perspective. But Maverick McNealy, I'm going right back to it. I mean, the guy's just so, so consistent and so, so good. These top 30s are going to start turning into top 20s, and the top 20s are going to start turning into top 10s because the talent is just undeniable.
No doubt. He was fine last week. He was sub 7K. He's 7K flat. Give me another, hovering around a top 20. I can live with that. He scores. He's a good putter. That's all I want. So we'll see. Again, ownership will shake out. We will be back tomorrow with some of these same guys. But let's get to the salary savers. Let's talk about the guys that are going to anchor the lineup. Before I do want to give a quick plug. I've talked about the NFL, and we've got so much good going on. This Saturday, not in a couple weeks, this Saturday, college football starts. And me and Matt Gajewski are going to have Live Before Locks. We've got shows. We've got everything that you need. We've got a premium package, depth charts, previews, projections, all sorts of things. If you go to the awesomeo.com homepage, click on the CFB tab. We've got everything you need to prep for the season. We've got those depth charts and team previews. Go check that out. There is no reason not to. There is a lot of money to be made on the DFS side and the betting side. So if you just want to sign up even for the week, come on in and have some fun. I know I can speak for Eric. You will be in Slack chat sweating out these games. Can't wait for football to be back, and it starts this Saturday. So no better guy to listen to for college football than Matt. And I can't wait to see what we can do this year with all the tools we have. So on to the sixes. Mac Hughes, Cam Davis, you got big time players here. Grace Leishman is down here. My boy Griot, Homa, Wise. I don't know how he's still alive. Charo is basically the min. I mean, talk to me. There's some names down here.
There are some names. And I mean, Aaron Wise, what in the world, dude? Maybe you had something there. I mean,
I did.
21st, it should have been better than that. He putted well out of the gate of that tournament, and then he putted really bad on the back end of that tournament. And I mean, to lose 1.7 strokes putting for him, I mean, that's just kind of what we've started to expect from him, and still finish 21st. If that thing ever gets flat, or if you get something like the Wyndham ever again, where, you know, it was such an outlier off the tee for him, considering the guy only just stripes it off the tee going forward, you could be looking at this being a really good golf course for Aaron Wise. And so, last week I was not in on him. He was a guy that I just kind of made a firm stance against. I think I probably got lucky. I think that could have been a really nice tournament for him if he was putting remotely competently. And of course, that's the question for him every week, but everything else is there. This seems like a kind of golf course, bent greens again. I'm going to just kind of trust that putting might be something that's a little bit more spread out for everybody this week. So give me some Aaron Wise for sure.
Yeah, I listen, 6,600 last week, 6,300 this week. Good score. He has some problems with the putter. I can live with that. I think he is certainly playable. It's not going to be popular relative to what we're dealing with in a 70 man. I mean, I know he's one of my favorite golfers, but I truly believe that his stats, the way he's playing right now, strong off the tee, strong around the green game. Okay, we got to match that up with either hot irons or hot putting. That can be done. Griot is back to being original Griot. He had a string where he gained strokes putting in 4 of 5, and that's where we saw some really good results. That's why he's still alive in the FedEx Cup. Since then, he's missed 5 of 6 cuts and he's lost strokes putting in 5 straight events. If you want to go with the theory, he can hit so many greens, he can mask it. But you still got to convert some of these. And that's just not happening right now.
Yeah. Put a FOMO top 5 bet in and then just don't play him in DFS or something. I don't know what else to tell you. You're not even going to do it. You're not going to touch him.
If I build enough tournament lineups, will I sprinkle him? That's possible. Is he a core play? Absolutely not. Yeah, I think 0%. You go get Maverick, go get Leishman. I'd rather play Homa for the same price. I'd certainly rather play Wise for 63.
Well, you're keying in on his putting, but how about his irons too? So part of his MO is just being able to gain a crazy amount of strokes with the irons as well. And during this stretch in his last 4 hasn't gained over 1.5. It looks like over 1.2 strokes gain approach. He needs to be gaining 5, 6, 7 shots just to be getting top 10s. I mean, we saw 6.1 at the Charles Schwab 8th, 7.5 at the PGA, still just a top 40. Wells Fargo, 7.1, 14th there. RBC Heritage, 7.1. I mean, that's what he's got to do, is get really, really hot with the irons. And if we're not going to see him be positive in that kind of a regard, there's just nothing else about his golf game that's going to get you into contention. It's going to get you even like a top 20 or a score that you need. So I'm just going to take what I see with his irons right now and factor that even more than just the putting.
Well said. It's a perfect segue to the guy I want to ask you about. Taylor Gooch is doing just that. He is on fire with the irons. He gained another 5.5 last week. He's made the cut in 5 of 6. He's not exploding. He has no top 10s, but he's hovering around 20th, 30th, 15th. I think this is a pretty good spot for him. His off the tee game can be erratic. Do you look at him at basically the min? He is only 6,200.
I think he's okay. I'm not super enthusiastic about a bunch of dudes down in this, down in this range. There's one guy that I do have, and maybe if we're going to kind of talk about just, No, I wasn't going to say Phil. I mean, come on now. Max Homa. I mean, he's 6,400.
Yeah.
We've seen him spike in so many of these different type of weeks. And, you know, the putting for him, if you want to talk about bad putting, I just know he's lost 8 of his last 9 tournaments with the putter. I mean, it's been a grind. But if you're going to find some positives, Memorial 6th, 6.5 strokes gained putting there. Looking at a couple of the other kind of comp courses for him here. I guess he didn't play at Quail Hollow. So, I mean, looking at the Memorial there, I just think if there's any kind of a hope for bent grass and these type of green complexes, if we can get kind of back to that form, still a guy who can gain a lot with the irons. And so he's been positive in 5 of his last 6 in that regard. So on a golf course where, you know, around the green game is also a little bit weak, but if you're trying to find somebody who has some ability to just spike it randomly, I think I'd rather go Homa than Gooch.
One little tidbit as well. Max Homa, first career win was at Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow.
There you go. Yeah, so you mentioned, that's correct. Yeah.
You mentioned Muirfield this year, but he's won at Wells Fargo. Seems like that's kind of the type of course that he could excel at. I think there's a lot of similarities as we've both talked about. So good call by you there. Anybody, like, you know, we only got a minute or two left here, and certainly stay tuned. We got content as always. We got baseball. We got Live Before Locks coming up tonight. You know, you check the schedule and follow us on Twitter for those updates. And you can follow me and Eric as well, JazzRazDFS at Eric Lindquist, and hit that like button, subscribe to the channels. You guys know the drill. You're all regulars of the show and we appreciate you. Anyone at like flat 6, I think it's borderline unnecessary to do that. Swafford, Hoagie, I don't think these are names I really want to get to.
Nope, I don't want to play them. I think the one guy that I'm going to get to, because it would just, I've already been there. He's played really, really well. I know he's your boy, Charles Schwartzel, 6,100. Yeah. I mean, he's not flat 6. We'll call him flat 6 for the sake of argument's sake. But Charles Schwartzel, if he does kind of the things he's been doing the entire season, just throughout the last 2 tournaments, kind of look at him blindly. I know that that's like a big ask, is saying, hey, you just ruined your life for 2 weeks and now let's just click his name again. But 6,100, that's a low number. And I think if there's somebody that's going to play well out of this range underneath 6,200, I feel like he's the most likely of the group.
So when Charles was really struggling and he had a bad, bad stretch, his off the tee game was just not tour level. He obviously fixed it. He had gained in 7 of 8 going into Wyndham. At Wyndham, he lost 5.2 strokes off the tee. Last week, he lost another 4.8. If he's doing that, he has absolutely no chance. If he gets back to playing normal golf, this is one of the better steals in the pricing. So just that's really it. He's lost 10 strokes off the tee in 2 weeks.
So one thing that I've noticed about you and I doing shows is when we are on the same guy's sub seven, they usually pay off. So I like that we're kind of in the same vicinity here. I mean, Maverick McNealy should have played even better than he did, but he didn't hurt us. He was still kind of the dude last week. I think just kind of keying in on Homa and Schwartzel feels like early on here, Tuesday afternoon, we're chatting golf. We've got some things that'll change. Ownership will change. But I think underneath 7K, if we're trying to make some of these uncomfortable builds work, they might be the key to it over a course of a four-round no-cut event.
I like it. This was some good work. Again, I know we talked about a lot of guys. Somewhat initial thoughts for us because, Chad, you're going to get us tomorrow night live before lock. Me and Eric will be back. We'll be talking about all the same guys, answering your questions. It's just going to be like this show, just even better. So make sure you stop on by on your way out if you hit that like button. And if you have any questions, get inside the ropes at Osmo. Join that Slack chat. Love to have you guys. Fun show as always. Appreciate you guys. Makes it fun. We're going to bounce on out of here. Good luck. See you guys tomorrow night.
Should do a snake draft.